Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh man, Corey Majors.
Oh man.
And of course, the famous Alec Medford here. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How we doing today?
This is quality. This is a quality Tuesday morning, man.
I felt like a big pause.
Well, and I'm a little tired from watching the game last night. There was a lot of energy, you know, a lot of energy from that game. And also worn out from destroying everybody in my fantasy league, you know, just continually 5-0 right now, eating everybody's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, other than that, man, everything's great. I also had a dream last night.
Mm.
It was a good one.
That's okay.
You said never to share your dreams. One day I was like,
I didn't.
And you were like, never share your dreams,
no,
Corey.
No, it's because one day when Sean was talking about his dream and we're in the prep room and I go, the lesser known, I have a dream.
Jeez.
Alec, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thanks for asking. Had a great time at Monday Night Raw last night.
That's good.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you should have led with him. I had a dream. He had awesome time.
I did. Yeah. It's great.
It's going to be that kind of show, huh? Hey,
maybe.
Everybody is not with the president of our company yet, all right? They could still be listening right now. You got 27 minutes to stay locked in.
From the 940, I'm still recovering from Raw in Dallas last night.
Yeah.
Get some ice.
Okay.
What do you mean by that?
To recover. I always feel like ice helps. Inflammation.
Man. You know, one of the things I still joke about to this day is every family function we ever go to with Jess's family, they're like, stop and get ice. And you're like, there's going to be like 8 people there.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get
Dude,
like
nobody
get 3
has
bags
an ice maker
ice.
That makes enough ice for a party. Nobody has an ice maker that big. Do you make your own ice cubes?
No.
When was the last time you made your own ice cubes?
If you count putting water in the tray and
putting
it in the
freezer.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
It's probably been a while, like 15 years.
Wow.
Jeez.
You are bougie. You're rich.
We just had a fridge that did it.
Oh, rich fridge. Yeah, look at you. I don't have to fill up the tray anymore.
Okay.
Gosh, this guy.
All right, so quick question for everybody out there, 877-881-1053. What do you have that you don't think is bougie at all, but apparently maybe other people might?
Running water.
Go ahead and let us know. Franklin Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Now, in the meantime, I thought there was a quote from Dak Prescott going into Sunday's game that I was like, man, that is a great way to look at it. And that is a great way to strategize. And at least short term, meaning just Sunday's game against the hapless Jets, it paid off. Before the game, Dak was asked about pressure, and he said, pressure is only pressure when you don't have a plan for it. So I think he meant in the context of like actual football pressure, but I feel like that's a quote that could carry over into your actual life. But yeah, pressure is only pressure when you don't have a plan for it. And it really did feel like they had a great plan for it. It felt like Dak was getting the ball out quicker, and that seems like an achievement in and of itself, especially when you consider, like Broadus was saying yesterday, without Turpin on the field, you do not have the swiftest group of receivers in the world. I loved that quote. I love how they reacted in this game.
Kevin, I have some more pressure quotes.
Okay.
If you would like them.
Tell me.
Lee Trevino. Pressure is when you play for $5 a hole with only two in your pocket.
Oh.
Chuck Knoll. Pressure is something you feel when you don't know what you're doing. And I think that's a real, ooh, like, if you know what you're doing, if you're prepared as you possibly can be, you've always said this, right?
Yes.
The test is here now.
Yeah.
I can't do any more studying for it. I just have to take the test. And if you know what you've done, you're feeling pretty good. And then from William James, the greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. So I like what Dak said.
I like that as well.
Yeah, I like what Dak said. That's a great approach to it. And you know what? Like the pressure you put on yourself really does come from your preparation and how confident you are. I think I've said this a lot. Dak looks like he's playing with confidence.
Okay. And I think he's right to have that level of confidence, because if you look at how the offensive line played, and I most certainly think Dak gets some credit for this as well, is he was only sacked one time, and that sack was very similar to the Micah Parsons pseudo sack from the game before, where he slid a yard behind the line of scrimmage to bleed the clock out in the fourth quarter. So it wasn't like an honest to goodness, man, that could have changed the trajectory of this drive sack or anything like that. So props to him for that. And then I also love this. We touched on this just a little bit in crosstalk yesterday, is Dak talked to all of the offensive linemen. And he said, if there's ever a guy who's going to believe in somebody having to step up when their number is called and people don't think they're ready, it's going to be me. And I think that's a great quote to hear from somebody who literally has kept their job for a decade because of that exact scenario.
Yes.
Like it can be empty sometimes to hear words from people who maybe haven't been to where you want to be or haven't experienced what you're going through in that moment. But Dak could absolutely look at the offensive linemen, probably at least two of them more than the rest, and say, hey, people might not think you're ready. Guess what? That's what they said about me. Here I am in year 10 with a boatload of money.
And I mean, Clayton Adams has the same kind of vibe with it, too, where he's like, he's consistently saying, if you don't like your position, if you don't like it, just wait 15 minutes. Life can change for you.
Yeah.
You have no clue in a quarter which player is going to get injured, which player is going to have a mistake that the coach says, I'm fed up, I've had enough, you go in now. And if you're not prepared for the opportunity, you're going to fail in front of everybody and you're not going to get what you wanted. So what do you want? I was watching last night, Kevin. There's a line of tight ends behind Travis Kelce. And every single one of them kind of understands their job was, when I need to go in, if I have to block, I better block my ass off. Otherwise, I'm probably not going to be back out on this field.
Yeah.
And I think those are you have to know what your job is and do it to the best success, even if you're a backup waiting for the moment to happen.
And you've talked about the confidence in which Dak Prescott is playing right now. And I think that is a great way to put it. I've started to think more and more about the intelligence that he is also playing the position at. Not to say that he wasn't before.
You heard Sean this morning ask Jerry about, hey, does it kind of remind you of Romo?
And a specific season for Romo.
Yeah.
It's the 2014 season.
Yep.
Because in the 2014 season, it felt like Tony Romo finally took finally took all the notes that had been given to him about being better, or he finally felt comfortable with all the personnel that was in place, or maybe it was a combination of both. And in 2014, I just thought he was phenomenal because he stayed away from trying to make every hero ball play. And you're like, hey, sometimes the best thing to do is
make the right play.
Exactly. Or which can just be throwing the ball away. And I just thought he played so smart this season. And that's one of the things I've noticed. And I thought Sunday was a great example, is I think Dak is playing so smart. That's not to say he's not playing confident, because he definitely is. He's playing so smart right now. And that quote epitomized to me altering kind of your game plan on a drive-by-drive basis.
You know, one of the words we hear Mike Maddox say a lot, and that's the Rangers pitching coach, Kevin, for anybody out there that is like, who the hell is Mike?
For now.
I hope forever.
I mean, me too.
But what, how often do we hear pitchers from him and him say throwing with conviction?
Yeah.
And you throw with conviction because you believe it's going to work because you've practiced it over and over and over and you've seen it work. You've made it work. But you believe it's going to work because of all the work you've put into it. And that's where I think Dak is right now. He's throwing with conviction. He believes, and I think that Brian Schottenheimer's given him permission for that too.
And I imagine, yeah.
And that's not me saying that Brian Schottenheimer came in and said, I allow you to do this. No, he just, the way the plays he's calling, the aggressive nature that the offense is being called in right now has given Dak the permission to believe this play is going to work. And he's seeing it also. Now, again, the defense early in the season has kind of covered up a lot of the things that you can be positive about for Dak. But if you're watching the game, you're noticing this for real.
From the 806, y'all remember the days when Tyron Smith would get hurt and the wheels fell off and nobody's would get 7 sacks a game. Look at us now. I think we all have horrible flashbacks to that Atlanta game in particular that feels like that exact scenario. And then I go back to Schottenheimer talking going into the game. He goes, I don't ever remember having to go in with 4 brand new offensive linemen. But again, I think it goes to their belief in one another that they were successful. And it's just one game, but couldn't you make the argument that you probably only need to make it through 2 games before you hope reinforcements are back?
Sure. But I'm also can make the argument that the rest of the season could be patchwork all year.
I mean, and that so, is but, possible.
This makes me feel pretty confident. We'll talk about that during the level of concern later today. But yeah, dude, I'm a lot more confident in what they have right now because what did I see? I've seen success from it. If I see failure from it, will I change my mind?
Sure.
That's the question.
Yeah. Now, Dak said after the game, it's a credit to these coaches, it's a credit to the players, it's a credit to the organization and everybody. There's not many teams in the league that can put 4 guys who don't start into the game and feel confident about going out and winning the game, especially on the road. And that's the other thing. I know they got the win, but you also heard it right there. And feel confident mm-hmm. going in and winning the game. And so apparently they already had that level of confidence as well, which once more I think ties all the way back into the very first quote that we were talking about. Now, if you want to go back to the other thing that we started with, what do you not think is fancy that other people do? There are a lot of answers. From the 682, a weekly maid. How much does a weekly maid cost?
I think we had one for a year.
Okay.
And I think it was like $100 a week.
Okay.
And she crushed. She did an amazing, she cleaned our house very well.
Okay.
For $100, I was like, damn, that's fantastic. I know for like a deep clean once a month or something like that, it's like $400. So that makes kind of sense.
Yeah, it feels like every week. From the 214, unlimited minutes on nights and weekends. Man, I remember when that was like a humongous deal. Now I feel like most phone plans just come along with that. From the 682, a bidet. Oh,
dude, I want a bidet.
Okay.
I do.
I think that makes a lot. But you want the fancy one, right? Not just the attached on one.
Yeah, I want, is the bidet like the separate, like you have your toilet and then you have a separate area that you sit on where it cleans
everything. I'm honestly not sure. I thought it was all built into one.
From a 9.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
3 automatic gate opener. I've had one for years. Kevin, I have a gate.
I think if you have a gate, that's fancy.
The gate opener is broken. And they told me how much it would cost. And I was like, that's too much. So we have a gate open. The gate's just open.
Okay. I guess I think if you have a gate, that's fancy. Oh, let me try it again.
Like a fence?
No, there's a difference between a fence and a gate. If you have a gate and you live near other people, I think you're fancy. I know in the country, there's lots of gates out there. And they're like, my neighbor's half mile down the road. But if you live near other people and you have a gate,
how do you get in your backyard?
That's fancy. Through the fence door that you have
to
open.
That's
a gate. That is not a gate.
I have two gates. I have three, four gates. I have four gates.
No, you don't.
One gate doesn't work. You call it a fence door?
Yeah.
877-881-1053.
It is a fence door.
It is a gate.
Because it doesn't have a manual option. You get out there and you pull the little stupid thing that juts out there to open. A gate is like a thing.
It's part of a fence that swings open.
No,
and you go
it has
and
multiple
shut it.
Doors to it and it like unfurls open. Like when I get to the Majors estate is what you're making it sound like. A fence door is not a gate.
It's not a fence door. That's not a fence door.
It is.
We'll have to agree to disagree.
Okay.
We'll ask Tony Khan.
He'll
be like, how many gates do you have versus fence doors?
Man, I bet he has a lot of gates. That family is very, very rich. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, as Corey just mentioned. Coming up next, Jacksonville Jaguars Chief Football Strategy Officer, co-owner, and the man who owns AEW, Tony Khan, next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you Jacksonville Jaguars Chief Football Strategy Officer and AEW owner, President, CEO. It is the great Tony Khan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we got a lot of wrestling stuff to get to, but holy moly, can you describe your ups and downs of emotions during the Jags and Chiefs game yesterday?
It was a fantastic game. You know, I felt like the players put everything out there. We have such a great group of coaches, such a great group of players. There's really great leadership at the Jaguars on the field and on the sidelines. I felt like they were steady. They came out in the second half and just immediately did so well, getting that stop coming out of halftime and then scoring. We had really great opportunities that we took advantage of, which is something that Liam Cohen talks about all the time. Liam Cohen has really instilled belief in everybody in the team and the fans. And it's a really great time here in Jacksonville. And it's good timing to come talk to you guys today.
Now, Tony, when I was in high school, I was standing on first base and my coach gave me a sign. And the sign was to trip and fall so that the pitcher would throw to first and the guy from third could score. Was Trevor Lawrence's play designed that way last night, or was that a complete accident?
I'll leave that to Trevor and Liam to tell you guys, but I think it was an incredible, incredible moment. It's a very memorable football play, and the spirit in the locker room was absolutely fantastic. And everybody was singing. It was Trevor's birthday, too. Everybody was singing happy birthday to Trevor in the locker room right after the game, right after he scored that touchdown, which was also kind of a special moment.
How much did you love his answer after the fact where he goes, I was just trying to stand up and throw the ball away, and then I saw there was no one in front of me, and so I took off.
That was great. I thought that was fantastic. And also, you know, that was one of the real highlights, but also Trevor throwing the ball made some of the best throws we've had all year, and I think some of the best throws I've seen. Certainly on that final drive, there were some great throws, and Trevor made great plays with his legs. Our defense made huge, huge plays in this game time and time again. Multiple players on offense stepped up, and special teams. And it was exactly like Liam said after the game. All three phases contributed to a great win, which is exactly what you want to see. So I think everybody was really, really happy with it. And it is very much consistent with what Liam has been preaching and what the Jags have been doing on the field.
Yeah, I think we're very impressed with what Liam's given us since we had really didn't know exactly what to expect out of him. Should we go ahead and give Devin Lloyd the AFC Defensive Player of the Year award for what he's done the last couple weeks? He's been awesome.
Well, he won the Defensive Player of the Month, which was a huge milestone for the Jaguars. Devin, coming off his Defensive Player of the Month award, is the first player to win that award for the Jaguars in many, many years.
Awesome.
So we're excited about that. And I think Devin's having a great year. The defense is having a great year. And really, like I said, all three phases have contributed to this 4-1 record. Everybody's doing a great job coaching the staff. There's just a really great vibe here around the building. It's a really exciting time to be in the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Would your heart have been broken for Devin Lloyd at all last night if he would have got tackled at the 1 or 2 yard line? Because that wide receiver came screaming down there to try to catch him.
I mean, we were all trying to breathe. The adrenaline was coming fast, I think, for Devin more than anybody. And it was just a great play. And I know that what Devin did there in that situation, not only to flip the field, but then to put the points on the board for us, it was absolutely huge. So I'm glad he got into the end zone, but just making that huge play was massive. Picking up all those yards, flipping the field was massive. And the cherry on top, Devin scored the touchdown. What a great game, again, by all three phases of the Jaguars, being a big part of that win last night.
Now, when do you take the time to sleep? Because tonight, a special title edition of AEW Dynamite, Title Tuesday. So did you get a chance to sleep, or are you just running on straight adrenaline from that?
I am running on adrenaline. I got 4 hours of sleep, and I am ready to go tonight. The show is live on TBS at 7 p.m. Of course, they're around Dallas-Fort Worth. There's such a great history of pro wrestling. And for us in AEW, it's very, very significant because we just had our best show in the history of AEW, AEW All In Texas at Globe Life Field. This past summer, July 12th, AEW set the record, our all-time highest attendance for North America for AEW All In Texas. It was huge. And I also thought the quality was the most important thing because I thought it was probably the best show top to bottom we've ever done. So thank you guys. I haven't seen you guys or talked to you since then, but I appreciate you having me on because it's a huge show tonight. Even though we're not there in Dallas, I wanted to come see you and tell you about it because you can watch it tonight at 7 p.m. on the Superstation TBS. It's a Title Tuesday. It's only one time a year that we have a show on a Tuesday because normally Dynamite is on Wednesday night, 51 weeks a year. It's a huge sports week. This is that one time a year. We have Title Tuesday. We have huge championship fights, matches with championship stakes, and huge matches. And it's just going to be a great night on TBS tonight. And if you can't watch it on TBS, you can stream it on HBO Max at 7 o'clock. And I just wanted to come talk to you guys about it.
You know, you just mentioned HBO Max. I know given the way the media landscape has changed over the years and continues to, how big of a boon has that partnership been to your company, being able to be on HBO Max and be there live and be there archived?
It came at a great time. It's definitely helping us get new eyes on AEW, and it's created a new way for people to watch AEW. We still have a great audience on TBS and TNT every week. Wednesdays on TBS every week, except tonight. Tonight's Title Tuesday. The show's 7 p.m. tonight on TBS. We also do weekend shows on TNT, but it's been huge for us to add HBO Max, not only for the live simulcast, showing them live, but also the archive, like you were saying, of our old events, pay-per-views, TV shows, hundreds of shows now. And it's really, really exciting for us. We've been able to get in touch with a whole new audience. There's a young audience on streaming. We still have a lot of young fans on TBS and TNT, and we still rank as one of the top shows on cable in those demographics. But we also have got a great young audience on streaming. And I think we've also been able to connect not only with new fans that had never seen AEW, but also some fans over the last 6 years of AEW that cut the cord at some point. So I'm really excited about that. Like you said, it's come at a great time as part of this new media deal that we're in with Warner Brothers Discovery, which is really the lifeblood of AEW. And the show tonight is so huge. If you could please check it out, it's on TBS at 7 p.m. Title Tuesday. Again, very rare that we do AEW on a Tuesday night, and we have to deliver a great show tonight, and we are going to.
Do you think it's a good use of time in my personal life if about a year ago I decided to go all the way back through the archives at HBO Max, start with the very first Dynamite and just rewatch them all with the pay-per-views included?
Yes, and we've been adding more and more shows from over the years. So
I know.
Go back and start again and with the stuff we added in the middle over those years. And there's still more to come, but so much of the AEW history is up there. You know, we've done over 300 episodes of Dynamite now, over 100 episodes of Collision, and so many great pay-per-views over the years. And I really believe for the quality of the shows this year, 2025 has been the best quality week to week of the TV and the pay-per-views that we've ever done. And it's happening right now. And you can see it tonight. It's 7 p.m. on TBS or on HBO Max. AEW Dynamite Title Tuesday tonight.
Now, I know this one is not a title match, but I wanted to get your thoughts real quick about the street fight, because we have had Bobby Lashley in studio multiple times over the last couple of years. What's your anticipation level for that one?
I am really excited for that street fight. And I have to give all six men a lot of credit. First of all, a ton of credit in the ring, whether it's Ricochet and the GOA, the Demand, or the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley, MVP, and Shelton Benjamin. These are great teams. It's going to be a great street fight tonight. It's a rematch of the tremendous all-out pay-per-view. They had a great trios match there. Tonight, we're throwing the rule book out. We're in Daly's Place, the home of AEW. It's a homecoming show. It's Title Tuesday tonight, and there's going to be some great championship matches. But like you said, this street fight's going to be very intense. So I give a lot of credit to all six men in the ring, but also last night out of the ring, because all six of those men were on the sidelines on opposite sides at Monday Night Football. And I appreciate them not getting into a brawl at Monday Night Football last night. They were all there. And I
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd ask them separately, please, guys, keep it together. No fighting at the game. We'll fight Tuesday. And if everybody could just be professionals here and represent AEW, not get into a big brawl and get kicked out on Monday Night Football. So thankfully, they really respected that. They saved the fighting. They saved the street fight brawl for tonight on TBS.
See,
on
Corey,
Title Tuesday.
How cool is that job? It's like, hey, don't fight yet. Yeah. Fight later.
Yeah, fight later. Now, hey, Tony, Athena Palmer, local favorite around here. She has her own facility. And I was kind of interested in how do you encourage something like what she does and because of how it can help expand the wrestling world?
Well, I think it's tremendous what Athena does. I really think Athena's got a great mind for wrestling. She's now over 1,000 days as the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. We've seen her compete in high level in wrestling companies all over the world, including here in AEW. And Athena is a brilliant wrestler, also a brilliant mind for wrestling. She's coached wrestlers. She has a protege, Billy Starks, who's already accomplished so much at a very young age, just over 20 now. And Billy Starks in her early 20s has already been a world TV champion and competed at a top level under the guidance of Athena. And I think Athena has mentored a lot of other young wrestlers around Texas. And absolutely, somebody like that, that can really not only bring the best out of people in the ring, but also coach people out of the ring and get them ready in their careers. I think Athena is a great, great person and a great wrestler, but also a great teacher. So absolutely, we want to encourage that, and anybody who goes and spends time with Athena comes away with a lot of wrestling knowledge.
Title Tuesday, Dynamite tonight on TBS, 7 p.m. Central start time, also streaming on HBO Max. Tony, thank you very much for the time. Congratulations once again on the big football win last night. We always appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. It's great to see you guys. I'm excited about the show. 7 p.m. on TBS tonight, or if you can't see it on TBS, it's on HBO Max. Thanks for having me on to talk about Title Tuesday AEW tonight. Go Jags.
There you go. Tony Khan right here on your home of football, wrestling, baseball, everything.
Hey, hey. Let's not forget that as much as we were excited for him and Trevor Lawrence.
I was still super entertained by that game yesterday.
Who I think I'm still more excited for Devin Lloyd than I am for Trevor Lawrence. That 99 yards was a long way to go.
And the thing is, I really worried when he got down to about the 5-yard line because he thought he was definitely going to score. And there was one person right behind him and then another person breaking down the sidelines on the left side that I was worried was going to catch him.
Tyquan Thornton was right there on the sideline, yeah.
But he made sure to get into the end zone. He has 4 interceptions in the last 4 weeks, yeah, I do believe.
He's balling.
Yeah, absolutely. And when Tony was talking about the passes that Trevor threw, I think everybody was caught up and kind of obsessed with, I think it was a 33-yarder down the right sideline that just, man, there's 2 defenders closing in. He just dropped that, Trevor Lawrence, that is in the absolute perfect spot, set that drive to keep going. And quite frankly, Alec, that was a game that the Jags won that I was like, look, we've seen this play out a million times. Trevor Lawrence is going to get the ball, march down the field, score a touchdown, and that's it. And the first part of that is exactly what happened. I thought when they scored the touchdown that the Jags were done.
You did?
I really did.
Yeah, that was intense, but it was also gratifying as a football fan because that was the Trevor Lawrence that we expected to see a few years ago when he broke into the league.
Yes.
He looked as advertised, and if he can keep playing like that, I'm going to watch more Jags games.
That's interesting because early in that game, he looked bad. And Troy Aikman was calling him out on like some dumb things that he did. But he recovered.
Because it looked like...
And that drive, that last drive was almost brilliant. I mean, if the... Look, yeah. Man. But he'd stepped in over the line of scrimmage to make a throw and got a penalty. He had some clock issues. He had some moments where you're just like, huh. But you're right. His throws, you were like, that's what he does well.
Yeah.
When he takes off running. Oh, yeah, he does that well. And I think Liam Cohen does a great job at adjusting at halftime with this Jags team and knowing that trusting his defense to keep them in games so that they could have a drive like they had last night. I thought the Chiefs were back after the first 2 drives.
Right.
And then now I'm trying to make the decision, was that the Jags growing up or the Chiefs continuing to fall?
I think I'm going to lean towards the Jags growing up for this one in particular. It can be both, but I do think Trevor Lawrence got jobbed on that interception where his receiver just got absolutely trucked by the DB. But a couple of things out of that, Travis Kelce now holds the Chiefs team record for all-purpose yards. He surpassed Dante Hall, and then in 3rd and 4th place, Jamaal Charles and Tony Gonzalez. So congratulations to him on that. And then for the Chiefs, this is another conversation probably for another day. They are now 0-3 this year in 1-score games. Last year, they were 11-0.
Which is very different than Tampa Bay, who has not played a game without a minute, the lead in the last
Tampa
minute.
Bay, all 4 of their wins have been in the final minute. They're the first team in NFL history to start like that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Are the World Series favorites already doomed? Next on The Fan.
Churio with a drive. Center field. Way back there. A 3-run shot from Jackson Churio, and the Brewers lead 7-3.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Corey, assuming we start with both of the National League series, do you have a preference? Would you like Cubs-Brewers, or would you like Dodgers-Phillies?
Mostly whatever's going to be on TBS tonight, Kevin. That's the most important thing to me. I want to start with the
American
Brewers.
League Baseball is on FS1. So wrestling will be on TBS tonight because baseball will be on TBS on Wednesday.
The moment, Kevin, that I saw William Contreras' home run that looked like it was going to go basically to the next state over. I was like, good God, that was amazing. And this is what a lot of people have missed out on Brewers baseball because it's in Milwaukee.
Yes.
But Brewers baseball has been phenomenal this year.
So, and Milwaukee, whether in its playoff history or certainly in the regular season, not a big home run hitting team, But take a, you mentioned that one. Also, Jackson Churio. So Jackson Churio, go back to the opener on Saturday. By the way, I've said this before. I will maintain, I hate the way they space some of these out when they're not traveling. Baseball players are used to playing back to back to back to back to back to back. No. So I hate the idea that from Saturday to Monday, you needed a day off because baseball players are like, not really.
This is my own personal opinion. My own personal opinion is that I think it's bad for the players.
I think you're right.
And Mike can agree or disagree with. I think for pitchers.
I think he would agree.
I think for pitchers, like, you definitely need time. And it does help for your rotational purposes, right? Like, you get to rest a couple pitchers. Maybe you have them for later in the series. But for hitters, like, you want that consistency of seeing ball, hitting ball, seeing ball, hitting ball. Fielders, same thing. And I know they get their reps in as before the games and everything like that, but you want to be up at the plate as many times as possible to find your groove.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you, man, completely.
So, you know, this series doesn't have to be over. But the Cubs, and we'll get to the Phillies in just a second, they are in a lot of trouble. The Cubs continue to struggle to score more than three runs. But for Jackson Churio in particular, on Saturday, he became the first player in a postseason game to have three hits in the first two innings. Just think about how crazy that is, just to get three at-bats in the first two innings, let alone getting three hits on all of them. But he ran into a hamstring issue.
Ever?
Yes, said? I believe that is correct. That is what ESPN Stats and Info has told me.
I'm just trying to come up with how many playoff games have happened in the history of the playoffs.
Sure.
And
but how many times do you think you got three at-bats in the first two innings?
Good point. Yeah, very good point.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But then he ran into a hamstring injury, and there was some thought that maybe he wouldn't even play in this game. Well, he did play. They win. And teams that take a 2-0 lead in a division series have won it 31 of 34 times. And probably more intimidating, that includes 20 sweeps.
Wow.
So more than half the time, if you fall behind 2-0, it's not that you're going to lose. It's that you're going to get swept.
How much of it? Let's discuss the psychology of this real quick, if we can. Is it because it's just too far to climb back? Is it we're not as good as that team? I think it's a mixture of a lot of these different things here. But once you're up like that, you do have a psychological advantage over a team that is ready to probably fold.
So I'm glad that you asked that question. One of my theories to go along with it is you probably had your better pitching matchup in games one and two, although I know with the wild card now that kind of changes that dynamic. So theoretically, if your better pitchers are better than their better pitchers, it stands to reason that you would probably have more pitching depth and maybe that helps you down the line.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Dodgers and Phillies. For most of the night, it looked like this was going to, I mean, not look like, it was a pitcher's duel. Then the Dodgers go off in the seventh, and it looks like Philly is done. But they put together a rally in the ninth inning. They score two runs, and in fact, I believe they had a runner on second with either no or one out. And it looked like maybe they could pull it out. Maybe they could tie this series. Go ahead and give me cut number four, because it was Roky Sasaki who was there to close the door.
Turner to second base. Tommy Edman. Low throw. Freddie Freeman with the scoop. And the ball game is over. Oh, my goodness.
Now, I thought that was a really great call. First of all, Sasaki came in and threw two pitches. And, like, he really... I know the Dodgers would love to see him continue to excel in the bullpen, not only for this postseason, but I'm curious about going forward. But that throw was awful. Like, I saw somebody say, and I appreciate this, the term fence door is diabolically absurd. The throw made to Freddie Freeman to close the game yesterday was diabolically absurd. Mm-hmm. Freddie Freeman had to drop down, and I know scooping is part of being a first baseman, but he also had to, like, drop down, I believe, to both of his knees to make the play and end the game. And just think about how crazy that could have changed the dynamic of that series.
Oh, for sure. Kevin, Kyle Schwarber, after on 9/24, September 24th.
He's in a funk, man.
Had four hits, a double, and two home runs. In the last six games, he is hitless.
He is 0-21.
And when Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber go hitless in a playoff game, you are in a bad spot. Those are important dudes. Now, I understand the Dodgers are a very talented team with a very deep roster, great pitching.
True.
And they probably focused on those two dudes. Like, hey, we have to eliminate these guys from doing damage to us. But that can't happen in a playoff game for Philadelphia.
So you mentioned Kyle Schwarber. His struggles go back into the regular season. Like we said, 0-21. Bryce Harper, only two games. But in this series so far, I say only two games. It could be over in the next game. So I probably shouldn't say only. He's 1-7 with one walk, three strikeouts, zero extra base hits, zero runs, zero RBIs. Like, those are your best two players. And if you're getting offensively, if you're going to get Jack S from them,
you're not going to win.
Yeah, good luck.
The Dodgers are going to beat you.
Yeah, because Lizardo, he threw pretty well.
Yeah.
I know the seventh inning, maybe they should have cut it off after six, that they ran into some struggles. But he pitched perfectly fine, well enough for them to win, and yet here they are. All right, now for the games today, because we're doing the still dumb thing until Wednesday, where you alternate with AL on one day and NL on the other day. Do you think that Toronto can close it out tonight? They are up 2-0. I just told you the stats about being down 2-0 in the divisional series being overwhelming against you winning the series, but there's also been a lot of sweeps. That series at least now moves to Yankee Stadium, whereas the Mariners and Tigers, which has arguably been the most entertaining series of the divisional round, now shifts over to Detroit.
I think Toronto is just like so amped up right now, and the Yankees are kind of in this weird, funky place that they're in. I think that they closed the fence door on them tonight.
Yeah, by the way, and somebody texted this in. That's a great point. I know some people are going after, I think it was Castellanos
for dumb base running.
See, I don't know if I agree with that. I kind of do, but at the same point.
On the bunt?
Yeah.
He should have run harder.
The Phillies thought they were being clever, and the Dodgers were like, we're 100% prepared for this.
I think you got a good point there. Castellanos, though, running from second to third when he weird slide, he was not running hard, and that's the problem I have.
Do you think he could have knocked the ball out of?
I think if he could have not necessarily knocked the ball out, but applied more pressure by being hustling.
Okay.
He looked like he expected them to throw to first, and he was just trotting into third. And like you just said, no, they had a play prepared.
Right.
But he should have been full speed the entire time, and I didn't believe he was.
I will always be okay with the Yankees losing going back to the American League. But if they were to win today, that means tomorrow you would get all four series back in action. And so that would be a whole lot of fun, and you'd have the potential for four series ending games right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time to talk with Dallas Cowboys insider Mickey Spagnola plus Cooper Flag Talk next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.